blessing to be with you tonight. I have to admit, as we sang the opening hymn, and I didn't see Brother Philip walking down that aisle out of the corner of my eye, a sense of relaxation came upon me. And then when I sat down and saw Brother Rick over here, I got even more relaxed. And that just goes to show you, I suppose, when Brother Philip is in the equation, you never know what to expect. I am thankful, very thankful, to be with you tonight. And I don't have much on my mind other than just a meditation. If I could share it with you, and the Lord would be our helper, I'd like to look with you at the 26th chapter of Isaiah, just the first couple of verses of Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah writes this: "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city." If I have one thought to share with you tonight, it would be that glorious exclamation: "We have a strong city." I believe the day that he's talking about in verse 1, when he says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah," I believe that's the day that we're in tonight. I believe that's the gospel day, the New Testament age, the age of the church that you and I are blessed to live in today. And that day, this is the day that he's speaking of, I believe. It's the day that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of over in Luke, I believe, chapter 4, when he quoted from Isaiah 61. The Lord Jesus Christ went in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4. The Bible says, as his custom was. That's an important statement there that he says, as his custom was. In other words, Jesus Christ, as God in the flesh, made it a custom and a habit and a part of his regular routine to be in the synagogue, in the house of worship, on the day of worship. Jesus Christ was the Son of God and God in the flesh. And if he felt it important enough to be in the house of worship on the day of worship, how much more should you and I esteem that day and that time? It was his custom. Jesus Christ, the busiest man that ever lived, set aside that time and that hour to be in the house of worship on the day of worship. And you remember how that story goes, or how that account goes, that he went into the synagogue and it was delivered to him of the book, and he turned over to what we would refer to as Isaiah 61, and he quoted there, or he read there from Isaiah 61, and I'll just read it from Isaiah 61 since I'm closer to it. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings. Preach good tidings unto the meek, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound." And after the Lord read that, he handed it back to the man, and he says, This day are these words fulfilled in your ears. He's talking about the church day, the New Testament, the gospel age. So when he says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah," child of God, we're in, is not this the land of, this is the land of Judah tonight. This is not the geographical piece of real estate over in the Middle East. But this is the promised land that we're in tonight. And this is the song, he says, that shall be sung. We have a strong city. We're not meeting in a weak place. And it's not strong because of man. It's not strong because of membership. It's not strong because of the pastor or the deacons. It's not strong because of programs. Strong tonight, child of God, because its builder and maker is God, and He is strong. It's built by a wise master builder. And the cornerstone of the building is Jesus Christ Himself. That's why we have a strong city. I'm reminded of what the Lord Jesus Christ told Peter when He says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock shall I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Why? Because it's a strong city. It's a strong city built by God Himself. I said I wasn't going to mention coronavirus tonight, but there I did. If the gates of hell shall not prevail against this strong city, don't you know that the coronavirus has no chance to prevail? Now, I want to say that, and I want to say this. I had somebody call me, one of my former students called me not too long ago and said, "Mr. Hathaway, do you think that the coronavirus was sent by God, or do you think it was sent by the devil?" I try to answer that one, brother. I said, "I don't know. I don't know if it's sent by God or if it's sent by the devil. I do know this, though, over in Isaiah 54. I'll give you my opinion. That doesn't matter. My opinion doesn't matter. Isaiah 54 says this about that. It says this, that no, speaking of the church, this city, that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. No weapon that is formed. So if whatever comes our way, no matter what it is, no weapon formed against thee, Church of God, Zion, shall prosper. Why? Because the Bible tells us that God is a hedge of fire round about her. Let me read that so I don't muddy that up. Over in Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, "For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about her, and will be the glory in the midst of her." God is the ring of fire around about this city. Isn't that wonderful to know tonight? We have a strong city. Virus or no virus. Government mandate or no government mandate. Executive order or no executive order. Now I do know this, don't you know? That the devil, he's not as powerful as God is. I know you know that. He's not as all-knowing as God is. But don't you know that your adversary will use everything that he can to throw darts at this city? Amen. But no weapon that is formed, no weapon that is formed, natural or supernatural, shall prevail against thee. For we have a strong city tonight. The psalmist said, "Glorious things of thee are spoken, O city of God." I love that song. "Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God." He is the keeper thereof. We have a strong city. Isaiah says, "Salvation will God appoint for the walls and bulwarks." I love that phrase over in Isaiah 48. "Salvation shall God appoint for walls and bulwarks." Isaiah chapter 48 begins this way. "Great is the Lord." Would you agree with this tonight? "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Isn't that wonderful? That's a wonderful way to start a psalm. Great is the Lord and grateful to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Verse 12 of that psalm says, walk about Zion. Go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. That's an important thing about Zion, isn't it? It says, mark ye her bulwarks. In other words, mark them. Mark where they are. Those bulwarks of Zion don't shift. They shouldn't move. If they move, then they're not the true Zion. Walk round about. Tell the towers thereof. I'll be honest with you. I haven't really delved into that. Brother Philip may could expound on this in a much better way. But you think about the towers of Zion. The towers of God's love. The palaces of God's faithfulness. The promises of salvation, of eternal security. Aren't those more beautiful than any palaces that you've ever seen with your natural eye? The faithfulness of God is more beautiful than the Taj Mahal. I've never been there. I haven't seen it in person. But I'll tell you, the faithfulness and the love and the providence of your God and the protection of this city is more beautiful than anything that your natural eye could behold. We have a strong city tonight. No government or supernatural foe can overthrow this city. Because it is kept by Almighty God Himself. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. I believe that righteous nation there is referring to the righteous nation of all of God's people. God's elect, the righteous nation. Righteous, not righteous because of anything that they've done. Not righteous because of their own righteousness. In fact, Romans chapter 5 would say it this way, as by one man sin entered into the world, or disobedience, let me go there because I'm going to mess it up. As by one man's disobedience, as by one man's disobedience were many were made sinners, even so, by the righteousness of one shall many what? Have the opportunity to be made righteous? By the righteousness of one shall many have a chance to accept righteousness and be saved? No, by the righteousness of one shall many be made righteous. Made righteous. By the righteousness of one. Not you and the preacher. That'd be two. Not you and God working together. That's more than one. By the righteousness of one man, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Getting old is hard to do. I can't see you with them, and I can't see that without them. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, those that have been made righteous by the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous nation that keepeth the truth. Now there is our response and responsibility, child of God, to keep the truth. Guard the truth. Protect the truth in our lives, in our families, and in our church. But rest assured, child of God, whether we keep it or not, we have a strong city. Because the God that created her is everlasting strength. May God bless you tonight, is my prayer.